Welcome back. The evening message of the eighth day of Christmas. Now, up to this point in the morning, we've been looking at Micah's vine and fig tree prophecy. And in the evening, we've been looking at the Christmas accounts in the New Testament, that is to say, the historical accounts of the birth of Christ. We're switching things around a little bit now. We're going to start looking at the Christmas accounts in the morning and something different in the evening. And that something different might have been prompted by a question: what's going to happen when the 12 days of Christmas are up? What are we going to do then? Hopefully you're getting used to having something to listen to on your morning commute to work and on your commute back home in the afternoon, or whenever you decide to listen to tapes. So we're going to have another series, and I've called this the 95 days of Christmas. And you say, well, where do you get the 95 from? Well, in a couple of years, as I'm recording this, we're going to be celebrating, I'm sure it's going to be a world event, the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's 95 Theses. And in fact, just recently in the news, the Pope has set in motion the honoring of Martin Luther. This is an interesting development. But anyway, whether you are Lutheran or Catholic, certainly Martin Luther's 95 Theses are very important in terms of the development of Western civilization or Christian civilization. So I propose that in the next 95 days, whereas we looked at Micah's vine and fig tree prophecy during the 12 days of Christmas, let's take 95 days to look at Luther's theses. And then I've got 95 theses of my own still related to the vine and fig tree theme. And then instead of just reading the Bible, or instead of just reading the Christmas narratives, during the next 95 days, we'll read a kind of Reader's Digest version of the Bible, going through the entire Bible, touching each chapter, and just getting a bird's eye view of the Bible and reading some of the most important things. We can do this in the same time period we've been doing the 12 days of Christmas, about less than 20 minutes in the morning as you're driving to work and less than 20 minutes as you come back home. We can get through that. We can get through Luther's 95 Theses, the Vine and Fig Tree 95 Theses, and the Reader's Digest version of the Bible. We don't have to read all of the begats, of course, but we can make a survey of the Bible and see how the message of Christmas is seen from cover to cover. And I think this will be an extraordinary 95-day journey. So what I'd like to do in the remaining 5 days of Christmas is promote the 95 days of Christmas. And one way I intend to do this is by looking at five things I think Luther, Calvin, and the Reformers, and America's Founding Fathers would say you need to know. And this is based on the premise that if you were born after 1957, you are most definitely a victim of educational malpractice. And if you were born in the 20th century, you are in all probability a victim of educational malpractice. And that's because public schools in America were formed as a result of Luther and the Protestant Reformation to teach the Bible. The purpose of forming public schools, community schools, common schools, whatever you want to call them, the purpose was to teach everyone in town the Bible. And we'll have a link to prove that proposition. And in particular, in the early 1960s, the federal government, the United States Supreme Court, banned the essential core elements of America's public school curriculum, the curriculum that in part made America the most prosperous and most admired nation in history. Luther, Calvin, who believed it was important to study the Bible, who believed that it was wrong for the Catholics to keep the Bible under lock and key so that the layman couldn't read the Bible for themselves. It was a matter of civic importance, government importance, that everybody in town learn what the Bible says. And that's why public schools were formed in America. And we have totally repudiated that Protestant heritage of education, and that's why we are all victims of educational malpractice, and we need to work on that. The five things I think that the Reformers and America's Founding Fathers would say we need to know. Five things. Here they are. Thing number one, the three core subjects that were banned from your government-approved education and why you must access them. Thing number two, the three goals for you from Samuel Adams. And I think the rest of America's Founding Fathers would agree with Adams. But in the first letter that Adams wrote through the network of communication known as the Committees of Correspondence, he had three goals for America. And we will find out why we must achieve those three goals. Thing number three, three huge mistakes America's founding fathers made and why we must avoid them. Thing number four, the three most hated words in politics today and why we must adopt them. And thing number five, the three things you need to become extraordinary and why you must activate them. So this is a promotional plug for the 95 Days of Christmas. There'll be a sign-up page at the end of the 12 Days of Christmas, and I hope you'll sign up, and I think it'll be amazing. So let's look at thing number one today, and in the remaining 5 days of Christmas, we'll look at the remaining five things. Five things the Protestant Reformers and America's Founding Fathers say you need to know. The first thing, three subjects banned from your government-approved education and why you must access them. What are those three things? Well, if you... First, let's understand a concept called the Organic Law of America. The Organic Law is the fundamental charters of our country. They include the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, the Constitution. These are all the most important. This is the potting soil in which our government grows, okay? The Organic Law. And another part of the Organic Law, go to your local law library and ask the librarian, I want to see America's Organic Law. And the librarian will pull off the shelf the U.S. Book of Statutes, and the very first volume has the Organic Law. One of them, another one of the charters, is the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, which was sort of a blueprint for the states. When a territory wanted to become one of the United States, Congress would pass an Enabling Act and say, make sure your state constitution is consistent with the Declaration of Independence and the Northwest Ordinance of 1787. In other words, make sure your state constitution is consistent with America's Organic Law. Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance said, and I quote, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. This is, of course, an endorsement of the idea. It's a repudiation of the concept of the separation of church and state as we know it today, which is not the separation of churches and religious denominations and Christian organizations and the state. The modern doctrine of separation of church and state means the separation of God and government, the separation of the Christian religion and government. That's not what was intended at all, of course. Here we're told that religion and morality and knowledge are necessary for good government and the happiness of mankind. And therefore, schools should be built to teach religion, morality, and knowledge. And this is everywhere universally acknowledged. In the first 100 years after the Constitution, the Supreme Court affirmed that schools must teach the Bible as a divine revelation and not just as an archaic historical artifact. Religion, of course, meant the Christian religion. It did not mean the religion of Osama bin Laden. Morality meant the Ten Commandments, which, of course, are banned from public schools. And knowledge does not mean the three R's. Knowing how to read is not knowledge. You don't know anything just because you know how to read. Knowing how to read is a tool to acquire knowledge. The knowledge being referred to here is a knowledge of how the world works. And we might say a knowledge that leads to a spirit of liberty. That's what America's founding fathers would say. In 1776, the same year as the Declaration of Independence was signed, Adam Smith wrote a book, The Wealth of Nations, inquiring into why some nations are rich and others are poor, considered to be the first treatise on capitalism. And so we would say that knowledge is knowing how the world works and why liberty is better than mercantilism. Why liberty is better than what the Redcoats offered. That's the basic American view of what knowledge is. Knowing why liberty is better than tyranny. And all these things have been banned. You cannot, in a public school, if you're a public school teacher, you cannot get up in front of your class and teach religion, the Christian religion. You cannot teach children that God says, thou shalt not steal. And you cannot teach the knowledge that capitalism is better than socialism. That liberty is better than tyranny. You certainly don't want to get up and say that the Declaration of Independence is true when it affirms the Creator, the laws of nature and of nature's God, the supreme judge of the world, a firm reliance on providence, and so forth. Those concepts have been banned by the Supreme Court, especially the idea that we have a duty to abolish any government that becomes a tyranny. That is to say, any government that is more tyrannical than the British government was, which the British government was basically a very libertarian and Christian government compared to the government we have today. So religion, morality, and knowledge, I would argue, have been banned from public schools. And if you were born after 1957, you were affected by that early 1960s decree, and you're a complete victim of educational malpractice. And America's founding fathers would say that the vast majority of Americans are moral, religious, and knowledge barbarians. So the first of five things that America's founding fathers and the Protestant reformers would say we need to know those three things that have been banned from our religion, are banned from our education, our government-approved education. We must again access religion, morality, and knowledge. And during the 95 days of Christmas, I'll show you how we can do that and what kind of curriculum America's original public schools had. So that's the first of five things we're going to be looking at here in the remainder of the 12 days of Christmas. And again, I'm going to be promoting a new program, the 95 days of Christmas, which will start, well, I guess immediately after the 12 days of Christmas are finished. So that'll wrap up the eighth day of Christmas. Tomorrow in the morning, we'll continue looking at the Christmas accounts, the accounts in the Bible of the birth of Christ. And then tomorrow evening, we'll look at thing number two, the three goals for you from Samuel Adams, known as the father of the American Revolution. Three goals for you from Samuel Adams and why you must achieve them. All right, I hope that sounds good, and we'll see you tomorrow on the ninth day of Christmas.